A green Sally down, last done start, gotta tell the ground. Green Sally up, a green Sally down, last done start, gotta tell the ground.
Welcome back to the Full Tank with Phil podcast, the first ever podcast about gambling on NASCAR, and it's a shift in the sports world this week. We got March Madness coming to an end this week. We've got baseball now in full swing, and of course, it's Masters Week. Merry Masters to anyone out there who celebrates. Definitely give our guys on the Flag Hunting podcast a look this week for sure to get yourself all geared up for the weekend of golf. But with NASCAR, things are pretty consistent. We're leaving short track country and heading out to Texas. So on this week's episode, we will look back at Martinsville and talk about the race itself, the reactions to the race, and how our bets did. Spoiler alert, we're still doing well. So I was happy to look back on Martinsville this week. And then we'll look ahead to Texas. Yeah, Texas preview. We'll talk about how to make a little bit of money on Texas. We got the books out there now with some odds trickling in, and there are some plays that I'm seeing this week that I like. So we'll talk about the money line picks, and including the manufacturer pick this week, and then finishing position and some head-to-heads. Pretty straightforward episode for Texas. It's not a sexy racetrack. This is not a track that most people like, so we'll see how this episode unfolds, see if we can find the right plays here and make some money. So let's start with recapping Martinsville. William Byron is your winner. And this was ranked, we got to call this out right out of the chute here. This was ranked worst race of the year so far on the Jeff Gluck Was It a Good Race poll. 31.9% of the people that responded said it was a good race. That is by far the lowest amount yet. And I think it had to do with the passing, and we've seen a lot of reaction now. We've got Denny Hamlin on his podcast. We have Joey Logano on SiriusXM discussing. Their insights have been really awesome to hear. I mean, they're pretty open and honest. And the moment in the race where I said, this is not going to end well for NASCAR, and the Jeff Gluck poll was when the leaders got to Austin Dillon. And Denny called that specifically out predictably. When they got to Austin Dillon, who was the worst car on the track, the last car on the track, they couldn't pass him. He was holding on. I think he was a lap down, trying not to go two laps down, and he made them work for it. At first, you're like, wow, good for him. You know, he's forcing them to work. They didn't pass him. They didn't pass him. And that was the indicator, like, oh boy, this is not going to go very well for, you know, NASCAR fans complaining. And that's really what Denny was ripping apart on his podcast. I mean, you know, he was very adamant, and we'll talk a little bit more about this after the race recap, but very adamant about the fact that it's tough to pass, and that makes it for not a great product. But Denny was left out in the cold here at the end of this race. So he was up there front and center trying to pass Austin, and then as the race went on, green flag pit stops got to him in stage three. As we saw, he ends up coming out, I think, fourth behind a couple of the Hendrick guys. And his mindset from his podcast was, yeah, it's fine. We've passed him before, but didn't have enough time in that particular case. And then we had a late race caution, and he decided to pit because the Hendrick cars, who were up front, decided to stay out. And it was just another, in fact, everybody stayed out except for him, leaves the top 10. So we'll talk about the bets that we hit and missed. But Denny costing some folks some spots there, coming down, and with no one else coming down with him, ends up outside the top 10. The Hendrick crew, they stayed out. And this was another factor as to why, you know, the short track package just isn't that great. I mean, tires really didn't mean much. They were able to stay out. They were out there on 80 plus laps, maybe more, and stayed out, and easily Hendrick cruised to the victory. They raced each other clean. It was a 1-2-3 party for Hendrick Motorsports, with Byron, Elliott, and Larson all getting it done at the top of the board. And that's where we're going to start. I'm talking about the hits and misses from last week. We took Chevy at plus 255 on the podcast on Tuesday, and felt a little queasy about it. I mean, it was the longer odds compared to the Toyota camp, who looked really short coming in. But as the weekend unfolded, the odds started to get a little bit better and felt a little bit better about the bet itself. And it played out exactly what we thought, right? The reason we took it was because it was unpredictable. We didn't know who in the Chevy camp would be the one to kind of be up front and leading and performing really well. And we said Hendrick has had all four of their drivers win those races. So in the last seven races at Martinsville, and that's what happened. All three of them up front at the end of that race. I mean, Bowman was up there for a little bit in the top 10 as well. It was anybody's game. So that's the mindset that we had going in taking Chevy, and it really paid off. So happy about that. Hit that for plus 255 on Caesars last week. So that was great. Another bet that we hit, Briscoe, top 10, minus 125. That one felt good. He does it again. I mean, he's got that streak going. We'll have to remember that when we come back in the fall. Then the backmarker race between Rick Ware Racing and Kaulig. That one was one we hit. Rick Ware, it was Kaz Grala. We threw him out. We said, you know, who cares about Grala and Josh Williams? That was really between Henrik and Justin Haley. And sure enough, Kaz Grala goes out and gets it done, wins by one spot. So that was pretty wild and fun to follow, that's for sure. We had Ryan Preece in a group bet. I don't do very well with group bets, but hit this one on the nose. Plus 350 for Priest over Bush, Suarez, and Gregson. This one was really not much of a problem from like the second half of the race on. Bush started up front in like the top 10 and then faded. And then once green flag pit stop started happening, we only had about like 13 guys on the lead lap. Priest was the only one in this group on the lead lap towards the end. So it really didn't matter. The other three guys were pinned down, so it was great. It was a cruising to a plus 350 victory there, and that was just fantastic. We called out the head-to-head matchups being tough last week, so we threw a couple into a parlay. The DK parlay, it was Logano over Bush. That hit easily, and Briscoe over Gregson. That hit easily, so that parlay hits for us. And we had a couple ads that went well. We added Bubba Wallace top 10 at minus 120. That hit. Byron over Gibbs, obviously the winner of the race. That hit. And then Elliott over Kozlowski. Kozlowski did not look good in practice whatsoever, and Elliott was very strong. So a great showing last week at Martinsville. The misses that we had, the other two money line bets that we called out were Blaney and Bell. Obviously, we'll take the victory, but they put a unit on each of those. We called out Reddick over 9.5. And this was hitting all race long. If it wasn't for that last caution at the end that charged up that last restart, I don't think Wallace would have snuck in to cash his bet. But he does. It was a little bit of a letdown. We were following this one on. And to Reddick's credit, he did much better than we had thought. Right? I thought he was going to be fighting for top 20s. He was in the top 12 all day, but he was still outside, and this bet was hitting for, I would say, 95% of the race. And then at the very end, he snakes us. So good on him. We'll talk about Reddick on this episode, but we missed that bet. Logano top 5, and we also added him to win the race on race day. Man, that was a tough one. He looked strong early in the race, and it felt good that we had him to win. I was like, yeah, top 5 is even better. But he was commenting about how difficult it was to pass, and they lost some spots on pit road. He lost a spot on a restart, and it was just he couldn't do anything about it. They finished sixth, so we just missed that top 5 bet at plus 150. That was a bit of a killer. When the race was coming to an end and the restart was, you know, overtime, I guess, everything was shuffling through. We knew we had Chevy in the bag. That was the one I was looking for when they crossed the green or crossed the stripe at the end with the checkered flag. So, hey, we'll take those losses, though, because after everything is settled, I'm doing a better job counting units this year, and it's easy to count units when you're doing well. We were plus 11.89 units in that race after all the wins and losses. So just really adding on here to a solid season. I've got to say, this is the best I think I've ever started a NASCAR season. So we're due, I guess, for a bit of a letdown, but I don't want it to happen. I love riding this high right now. The takeaways that we have from this race. Many people calling it boring. I would say boring is actually kind of good for making some money. I mean, it has been for us the last few races here with Richmond and Martinsville, and even going back to COTA, making some money here. And the other thing is, I'm not scared of juice. You know, we're not in the past on this podcast been a bit adverse to throwing money down on the minus 140s, minus 150s. But this year, favorites have been dominating. Favorites have been getting the job done. And I don't want to be chasing like long shot odds every week with an attempt to try to make the money, because that's the way, you know, our mindset. No, my mindset has shifted to, let's call out the bets that we feel are going to hit, whether the odds are in our favor or not. So that's been working out for us. And Denny's comments on his podcast really, I think, speak to that. When I'm listening to his stuff, when I'm listening to the drivers talk on the radio, I'm trying to think about how we can turn that into a gambling perspective. And when Denny's talking about how hard it is to pass and how NASCAR wanted parity and now they have it and everybody's equal. So now with no tire wear and the horsepower situation, everybody's just running exactly the same. So to me, that makes it more predictable. And looking at practice data and the metrics coming into the race, to me, that's set up better for gamblers. Maybe not race fans, but for gamblers, I think we're trying to take advantage of these opportunities here. Now that the drivers have figured out how this next-gen car works, that's what we're seeing more of this year. So interesting stuff. The, you know, drivers clearly a bit unhappy with the short track package. So we'll put in the review, though. I'm running from short tracks, very happy as that part of the season comes to an end. We're up very big, so happy with it. We'll move ahead, though, to Texas Motor Speedway. And this racetrack more recently has been the butt of everybody's jokes. People just hate this racetrack. And everyone's talking about it's not even a question of an opinion anymore. Like, it's almost a fact when you hear Dale Jr. talking about it or any of these drivers that I mentioned so far talk about this racetrack. It's always just down on this track. Yeah, Texas is a problem. Texas stinks. And NASCAR is so much as admitted to it, taking away a race, making it the all-star race, trying to see what they could do there. It just still wasn't a good package, wasn't a good product. And so it's a shame because you'd have to figure Texas is a decent market for NASCAR and you want to be able to showcase your product there. They're in COTA now, which is, you know, maybe taken away a little bit, but they've got a decent enough facility, big Haas, that scoreboard or the screen. It's pretty impressive. They want to be able to show that stuff off, but the racing product just overall hasn't been great at Texas. And there really isn't much end in sight with that. I mean, since the repave, just things have not gone well. Looking at, I think it's turns 1 and 2. They're just like so much slicker than 3 and 4. And we saw last year, that in full effect. But I just wanted to call this out because I found just to kind of comment on how quickly things have changed here for Texas. I was on Reddit and I found a thread talking about Texas Motor Speedway. This was 4 years ago. I'm not going to call this user out, but just how bad this take was 4 years ago. This comment said, off of Reddit, it's the most popular track in NASCAR behind Daytona. NASCAR purses are calculated by race sponsorship and ticket sales. Both TMS races are second and third in NASCAR. Just because Texas Motor Speedway looks empty with 100,000 people doesn't mean it's not getting triple the crowd numbers and of the popular tracks like Martinsville and Watkins Glen. The state of Texas really is too underdeveloped for NASCAR, and by market there needs to be a track near Houston to capture the Gulf Coast region west of the Mississippi. Because of this, no matter how shitty the racing is at Texas, it will always be one of the most popular tracks in NASCAR. Also, COTA is too narrow for NASCAR. Austin built that track for F1 and motorcycles. My goodness. He refers to both races at Texas. Obviously, they took one of those away. It is now officially the worst track in NASCAR, according to everyone that you talk to. And COTA is now on the schedule. So, my goodness, things have really come crashing down for Texas Motor Speedway. That's the whole reason why I wanted to bring that up. I thought that was really funny. Looking at last year as the example, we had Byron as the winner last year, and he was able to win that late with a restart. We had 11 cautions, and a lot of those cautions were people just spinning on their own. Turns one and two, like no grip. We saw Kyle Busch do it, for example. He had a funny moment where he just drove backwards all the way up to pit lane and up to his stall, and just really unbelievable. I mean, boring is kind of the word you use because there's just so much lack of passing, but at the same time, you're on the edge of your seat because you're hoping that the driver that you bet on, who's been performing well all day, doesn't just randomly spin. So yeah, that's what you're getting at this racetrack if you're new to gambling on it this weekend. And I always tell a funny story. I feel like every year we come to Texas, but when I was there for work one year, it was 2015, and I had a couple of my coworkers watching the night race at Texas. We were in Houston, and we were watching at an outdoor bar, and they were like, all right, tell me about NASCAR. And I was trying to tell them the reasons why it was a good sport to watch, something fun. And Jimmy Johnson just absolutely dominated that race in 2015, just crushed it, led a million laps, and it was completely not the right race to try to get a new fan out of it. So yeah, that's where we're headed this weekend. Let's take a look at some of the track sets, though. Let's try to be more positive. We'll try to get some of these picks out there and in the atmosphere, and let's make some money. So track stats, we've got 43 races at this track in the Cup Series in the lifespan, and the winner has started on the pole 5 times. Now, here's a funny little stat. 4 of the 5 pole winners that won the race, their first name started with K. That's weird. We got Kevin Harvick, we got Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, and Casey Kane. And so I guess what we're saying is if Larson or Kyle Busch win the pole this weekend, we got to bet them. I found that pretty funny. Winners started within the top 5. It's 55% of the time, excuse me. And starting within the top 10, 76% of the time. So clearly at this tough to pass racetrack, starting in the side of the top 10 is huge. It's only happened 5 times in the history of the track where someone has started outside the top 20. And the last time it happened was 2017. Manufacturer trends, we're going to talk about this in just a second, but Chevy has won 3 straight and 4 of the last 5. So what are some of the things that we're looking at this week? Toyota, real quick about manufacturer trends, actually, I skipped ahead. Toyota, because they have changed the schedule up, right? Texas used to be 2 times a year. Then they took it away in the spring race and they were just putting it in the playoffs. This is the first time where it's just out of the playoffs and they're moving it back to the spring. So it's worth noting that Toyota has actually won 3 of the last 4 spring races at this track. So interesting, interesting little tidbit there with the spring versus the fall races. Now, metrics, I'm looking at the last 7 races at Texas. It's a little difficult because of the fact that they threw an all-star race in there a couple times and messes up, you know, the metrics there. We're not looking at any of the all-star data. That is for the birds. I don't do that. Then we'll touch on, I guess, the last 2 races in the next-gen car at this track. And more specifically, we'll look at the comp tracks. Vegas, Charlotte, Kansas. If you start with the 2023 season, and then you include Vegas from this year, we've got 7 races that we can look at. That's a decent sample size. So since 2023, we'll be calling those numbers out and how these guys have been doing there as well. So we will look ahead now, and we'll start with how we're going to structure our money line picks. Similar conversation to last week, except this time, you know, what we saw last week was Toyota being a heavy favorite in the manufacturer market. And then we had Ford and Chevy as the longer underdogs. This time, they're flipping it. Chevy and Toyota are now the favorites, but you're still getting a decent number for either of those. And then Ford is just a heavy underdog. I think they're like plus 350 maybe. So I would agree with these odds here. I think you could go either way. And the books are kind of doing a similar situation, right? Depending on what book you look at, you're going to see a different favorite. So if you like Chevy, Caesars is your pick. If you like Toyota, DraftKings is your pick, just for example. So what I'm going to go with this week, we're going to run it back with Chevy. Plus 135 on Caesars is what I'm looking at. So, you know, find the right book for the pick that you want here. And if you wanted Toyota this week, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to be like, no, you're wrong. Because I could see the path to that. I easily could. But I'm setting things up in a similar manner as last week. Chevy has won three straight races. No manufacturer in the history of Texas Motor Speedway has won four straight races. But Chevy has won four of the last five, and it's all different drivers. That's what's huge to me. Back in the last decade, Jimmy Johnson was like the Chevy guy. If Chevy was going to win the race, it was Jimmy Johnson. The times have changed. We're looking at Chevy drivers that are coming from anywhere, really. I mean, RCR had a stretch there, and we got the Hendrick crew, Kyle Larson, William Byron, Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick was driving for Chevy when he won. And then of those four out of five victories, the other driver who won was Kyle Busch. So you flip Reddick and Kyle and the numbers are still the same. So that to me is where my mind starts. It's like, if it's going to be Chevy, Larson's the heavy favorite. We'll talk about him in just a second, but it really could be anybody. And if you look at the other manufacturers, okay, active former winners. For Ford, the only active driver that has won here is Joey Logano. And for Toyota, it's Hamlin. And then you throw Reddick in there for the win in 2022. That's what you're getting here. Whereas Chevy's more of an eclectic group. You can really find a way with Chevy to get there in a couple different ways. So that's why I like Chevy in a manufacturer bet this week. We're seeing a lot of the same names win in, you know, if you go back all 43 races, the guys who are winning races, it's like a smaller group, right? We're seeing the same names over and over and over again. And for Chevy recently, it's kind of a different group of guys, you know, four of the last five winners, all different drivers. So that's what I like. Now, we'll talk about some of the reasons here. Larson is your favorite, and his numbers here are just fantastic. This is not a shock to anyone who follows NASCAR, but, I mean, he dominated the All-Star race when it was here even, and they tried to mix up the rules and make things more entertaining, and it was still the Kyle Larson show. He's second in driver rating in the last seven races here. He's first when it comes to the comp tracks and driver rating. Last year, he had this race absolutely locked up, and then, you know, he was just performing really well and lost control of the car, just went spinning, and we weren't sure if Bubba got into him or not, but I think it was just him spinning. So then that opened the door for Byron to handle that and go out and get it done on the restarts. But the end of the day, Kyle Larson gives you a solid dog in that fight. Then you look at William Byron, who was your winner last year. I particularly don't love betting on guys back to back, because he won last week. But still, if he's part of our camp and he's got really good numbers here, I mean, Byron's in the top three of almost every metric that I have written down on my chart. Every metric, he's top three. Last seven at Texas, average finish, driver rating, last seven comp races, driver rating, average finish, last two next gen races at Texas, win the race rankings. He's top three of everything. So he's worth having as part of your camp. I love that. And then you look at people like Elliott. Elliott hasn't really been showing up here on the stats, right? He's okay. He's serviceable, but I think he's really starting to come into his own a little bit. A great race last week. It's apples to oranges, but still, momentum is a thing that we can't quantify. Then we're talking about guys like who? Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is dog shit this year, but he's going to a track where he's historically been really good. He's won 12% of the races that he's been in at this racetrack. He's got four wins. Got an over 50% hit rate for finishing in the top 10. So this is a track that he likes. So we've seen that recently where, you know, guys are struggling and we get to a track that they like. Great. You know, they go out and they do their thing. So he's somebody that I wouldn't want to bet like Hendrick, because he's somebody that could burn you. I mean, it would come out of left field. It really would. But I don't want to be hitting. I don't want to be playing roulette, betting on red or black and have it land on green. So that's my mindset there. And then we're going to talk about Ross Chastain in a little bit in a finishing position bet. But he's someone that could sneak into this one in this conversation for Chevy. Looking at the last seven comp tracks, Chevy has won four of those seven tracks. So not just Texas, but recently Chevy has performed really well here. So that's why we're rolling with them here. Plus 135 on Caesars. Chevy is the manufacturer pick. So that's kind of laying the foundation for a money line segment here. Because then you go, all right, well, we got them out of the way. We're covered there. Who else is it going to be? I, this week, am going to roll with Tyler Reddick. He's going off at 7-1 on MGM, 6-1 in most other places. And just like I talked about with Kyle Busch, he has been struggling a little bit. Now, good finish last week at a track that he has not performed well at. And to me, that is a good uptick. That's a note. You put that as you're watching the race, like, good for him. He was able to survive a track that has given him fits recently, and he survived it with a top 10. That's the type of stuff that I want to see. And now we're going to a track that he really likes. So just like Logano has shown, just like Blaney has shown recently, where we go to tracks that they're not good at, when they land on a track that they are good at, they've performed well. And I'm seeing this coming for Reddick this weekend. He won here in 2022, driving for RCR. He led 70 laps. That was the most in that. And he was a non-playoff guy. He has five races at Texas in his career, one win, two top fives, three top tens. He's second in average finish, six in driver rating. So a lot of numbers being thrown your way there. But the end of the day, at Texas specifically, he's been pretty strong in a small sample size, five races in his career. The comp tracks from the last year plus Vegas, seven races. His average finish is 9.3. That's good enough for third in the sport. One win, three top fives, five top tens. Just solid. Putting himself in position to be there in the end. He's fifth ranked on Win the Races website for the pre-qualifying ranks. And last year, he got shuffled back to 25th late in the race. But he was up front, leading laps. He led 36 laps, 23-11, has consistently had good setups on these mile and a half tracks. He finished second at Vegas in total speed, fourth overall in total speed, by the way, on these comp tracks. So Tyler Reddick is definitely somebody you got to watch for this weekend. And I like him at 7-1 on MGM. I'll take that. I'll take 6-1, honestly. So Tyler Reddick, keep your eyes peeled for him. And if it's going to be Toyota, he's someone that I think could steal this one from Chevy. And I want a chunk of that. So that's where we'll go for that one. Now, the last one is a pick that he's a guy that I keep calling out. And I wasn't going to. I wanted to take another Toyota driver, honestly. But this was very number dependent. So if you're listening to this on Sunday, things obviously drastically changed. But Ryan Blaney, okay? He is, most places, about 8-1. 8-1 on DraftKings and around similar number on most of the books. But Bet Rivers has him at 12-1. That difference, that discrepancy is bigger than anything that I've seen recently, where you've got books that are so far apart on a number. So to get Blaney at 12-1, I'm in it. I needed to put money into my BetRivers account because I haven't used it in all that while. But we're going to call him out here, 12-1. And I mentioned how, you know, Ford only has one active driver with a win. Well, you know, Blaney has won the All-Star race. Like I said, we don't consider that too big of a deal. But in the last seven races at Texas that are real races, he's got two top fives and five top tens. He's first in driver rating in that time span, last seven races at Texas, 104.1. Look at the comps. Since 2023, he's got a win at Charlotte, two top fives, three top tens. He's sixth in average finish. And to me, this is like kind of the best Ford option that you have, right? It could be Logano. He's starting to come on a little bit, but Blaney outdoes Logano in these like comp tracks. He's six in total speed, six at Vegas specifically, and six in average finish on these comp tracks. So at 12-1, I'll take a guy who's top six recently. number one in driver rating at this specific track. Yeah, sure. Lock me in 12-1 for Ryan Blaney, and we'll see where that one ends up. I don't want to get beat by him this week as well, kind of having a coming out party here for Ford. Again, Ford's on this drought. They have not won yet this year. So if it's going to happen, I feel like it's going to be coming with the 12 team. So to wrap up the money line segment again, we're going Chevy with the manufacturer plus 135, Reddick 7-1 on MGM, and Blaney 12-1 on Bet Rivers.
Firm but with a little give. Yep, these are medium rare.
What if somebody wants theirs well done?
We ask them politely yet firmly to leave.
Next up, we're in finishing positions segment, and we're going to have some fun here because I want to talk about this driver right away. He was someone that I'm like contemplating talking about for a super long money line play, but I'm looking at Bubba Wallace here, and we're going with Caesars again for their over-under plays. We're going to call Caesars out a couple times, but with Bubba, we'll talk about a couple different ways to play him if you don't have the access to that. But right now, he is going off. His over-under is 12.5. That's crazy. I mean, it just straight up is crazy. And the number is minus 140. I mentioned that I'm not scared of the juice that much this year. And the funny thing is, on DraftKings, he's going off at minus 175 for a top 10. So, man, you're getting a discount and two extra spots for Bubba to finish. So yeah, absolutely took minus 140 for a top 12. Essentially, it's under 12.5 is the play. Now, the good thing is if you have access to MGM, I believe his top 10 number is a little bit better. But let's talk about why we like Bubba. I mean, he's somebody that I feel like we need to have in some capacity, whether it's like DFS or just on your card in general. I mean, so this is how we're calling him out here. And mile and a halfs for Bubba Wallace. I mean, I'm not really saying anything that isn't known. He's been really progressing in his career on mile and a halfs. And Texas previously has been not a good place for Bubba Wallace to go. But then speaking of that career progression, you look at last year, he's going out and he finishes third. He led 111 laps. That was by far the most in that race. And he lost it at the end of the race. So you look at the last seven comp tracks and his stats really do show what we're looking at. He starts pretty well, which is an 8.6 average starting position. I think that's third in the sport. And he's got four top fives, five top 15s. His average finish and driver rating compared to everyone else is ninth in the sport. Total speed on these comp tracks since 2023, ninth. Win the race has him ranked ninth. So that's what scares me a little bit for calling him out for a win. But for an under 12.5 play, absolutely. For a top 10 on MGM, minus 125, I think you get that too. So keep your eyes peeled for Bubba this weekend. Now, I love that play. I'm already in on the minus 140 for under 12.5 on Caesars. But here's a little sprinkle. Here's another play. If you're looking to get in on the Bubba Wallace train here, you can get him minus 110. He's an underdog in a head-to-head matchup against Ty Gibbs. And Gibbs, you know, at Vegas, he was pretty fast. He was fifth in total speed. I think he finished the race fifth. So if you want to look at this year, specifically the Vegas race, great. That's pretty solid. But going back to the full slate of races that we've had since 2023, he's got two finishes inside the top 20, Ty Gibbs. Meanwhile, Bubba, I mean, we just ran through his stats. Really strong. I mean, he's got four finishes inside the top five. On Win the Races rankings, it's an eight-spot difference. This is the biggest difference I can find in a head-to-head matchup. And the fact that Bubba's the underdog here, I like it. Ty needs to, you know, figure it out a little bit. And if he goes out and he performs well, great. You know what I mean? We'll keep our eyes on him. But minus 110 over Ty Gibbs is a head-to-head play that we're going to throw in here since we're talking about Bubba. Next matchup here or bet that we're going to talk about, we're taking a bit of a risk, okay? And I'll explain why it's a risk, but it's minus 110. It's another one of the Caesars over-under plays. And this one, you're not really going to be able to get it anywhere else because it's top 20. He's sitting at over under 20.5, and it's minus 110. I'm looking at the under here. Now, let's talk about the reasons why not to take this first. Because since 2023, he has two finishes inside the top 20 on these comp tracks. His total speed, not good, 24th. Average finish, 23.1. The thing in this bet is Texas has been different for Michael McDowell. So even in the mix of all of that trash, he's 5-for-7 in the last seven races, finishing inside the top 20 at Texas. In the next gen car, he's 2-for-2, finishing inside the top 20. And he's actually 4-for-7 at Texas in that time span, finishing inside the top 15. He finished top 15 last year. He was really fast in practice. He started 16th, and he just ran just a typical mid-pack driver race. 61% of his laps were inside the top 15. He was just slow and steady. And so while the comps are kind of scary here, that's the risk that you're taking. You're saying, hey, he hasn't been good in most of these other places, but he's good here. And so I'll take the under. I love betting top 20s when I can. It's more fun to cheer for people to do well than to, you know, wreck. So we're going to go with minus 110 top 20 for Michael McDowell. See if he can do it again, because at this track, he's clearly been different through the years. All right, let's get to a top 10 bet that is available for anyone who doesn't have Caesars. So this is actually going to be on MGM, and it's Ross Chastain. So let me tell you about my Ross Chastain mentality here, because I was looking pretty hard at a top five. Now, I get scared off by top fives. Like I said, I like to try to make things easier on myself. His number was plus 260 for a top five. And to me, I'm a little bit more conservative in this sense. I want a little bit more breathing room for Chastain. In 2023, he started fifth. He finished second at Texas. The next gen car at Texas, he's got a 13th place finish and a second last year. So decent enough. Again, that 13th place finish is still putting you in and around hitting that top 10 bet. But let's look at since 2023 started on these comps. Seven races, he's 10th in total speed, second in average finish, four top fives, six top 15s. He's seventh in driver rating. I think Ross Chastain is sneaky, man. You got to keep your eyes peeled this weekend for Chastain. He hasn't really been poking his head much up this season. And so that's why I think we're getting a decent number here at minus 125 for a top 10. So I really think that this might be some good scenario here, a good situation for Chastain in that one car to kind of take control of their season a little bit, get some momentum going, and we'll cash this bet. So to finish the finishing position segment here, we got Bubba Wallace in a couple different ways. Under 12.5, minus 140. You could get him at minus 125 on MGM for a top 10 if you don't have Caesars, or you're listening to this later in the weekend. But I also like him versus Ty Gibbs head-to-head, minus 110. Then McDowell under 20.5, minus 110 on Caesars, and Ross Chastain minus 125 for a top 10 play. That is on MGM.
All right.
So let's wrap things up with the head-to-head section, and we've been doing pretty good with these through the last few weeks. We're trying to keep this train rolling, and we already threw one out there, like I said a second ago. Bubba over Gibbs is how we got started here. So we got four total, including that one. But we're going to start with one. I mean, I really like all of these, and we're kind of picking on a certain group here. So we're going to go with Daniel Suarez over Eric Jones. This is even, minus 115 a piece. Jones has decent numbers at Texas in the last seven races at Texas. He's got a top five, four top 10s, and five top 15s. And as we know, that's in different equipment over the last few years or so. The funny thing is, Suarez has a similar situation with the equipment. He's been in and out of teams and has better numbers than Jones at this racetrack. He's got a better average finish, 12.3 to 12.7, and he's got two top fives with four top 10s. Then we look at the last seven comp tracks. So this is apples to apples. The car that they've been in the past year, plus, and we see Suarez separate himself here. Total speed, they're pretty much right next to each other, but Suarez is 10th in average finish in NASCAR on the last seven comp tracks, 14.0. Five top 15s, six top 20s out of seven races. Jones has one third place finish in that time frame, and then not much else. Suarez is 6-1 head-to-head against Eric Jones in the last seven comp tracks. To me, the knock here is against Daniel Suarez, like, well, they just haven't really been that fast. That really isn't that true. I mean, they won in Atlanta, Super Speedway, great. But then they've shown speed and then just had mistakes. Whereas Jones, I mean, what is he really bringing to the table? Nothing as of late. So I'm much happier taking Suarez in this one car, or excuse me, the 99 car, along with the one car as his teammate. Like, Trackhouse, they're looking at this racetrack. Trackhouse and Texas are kind of like peanut butter and jelly. So we're going to go out and get some good finishes here for both those drivers. And I think Suarez beats Jones pretty easily. So the fact that this is minus 115, I don't see the case for Jones. It's just Suarez has him in almost every category here. So Suarez over Jones is how we're going to kick things off here in this segment. Now, let's go to a team bet. Little juicy, minus 140, but we're going to continue to pick on Legacy Motorsports. So Stewart Haas Racing over Legacy. That's where we're going with this team bet. And at first, my mind was like, four drivers versus two? Like, damn, like that's not really that fair. But then you look at it, and Jimmy Johnson is in the field this weekend. So I think that's why they even have this matched up. It's a four versus three matchup as far as driver numbers. Jimmy Johnson in this field does not scare me. He's obviously a stud at this racetrack, as I mentioned earlier from my story from years ago. But he has four starts in a Legacy car, zero top 25 finishes. He finished 30th or worse, I think, at Charlotte. It was like 32nd at Charlotte last year. And if anything, I feel like this is more of a distraction of the resources at Legacy than a positive to bet on them in this matchup against Stewart Haas. We had, you know, John Hunter Nemechek really not proven anything. He finished 22nd at Vegas, and we just talked about Jones and his struggles recently in the last seven comp tracks. So I don't know why, I don't know what the case would be made for Legacy in this one. I mean, you can't convince me that Jimmy Johnson's going to go out and run top 10 in the 84 car. It's just, I'm not seeing it. So let's look at Stewart Haas Racing and maybe the path to this one, because they've been strong the last few weeks. A lot of people have been on them, certain elements to it, but Stewart Haas is typically decent at those racetracks. Whereas now we're going to a mile and a half, things are a little bit different. This is more of the tracks where you need to be stepping up with the big boys, and Haas hasn't really had that ability lately. But you look at Gregson. He finished top 10 at Vegas. That was a big job for him. So good stuff there. Then you look at Chase Briscoe. Surprising numbers here for Chase Briscoe. He has three starts at Texas, one top five, two top 10s, and three for three, finishing in the top 15. And we're looking at the next gen two races at Texas. Only four drivers have two top 10 finishes in two starts, and he's one of them. And that, by the way, is with terrible, terrible starting spots. His average starting position is like 29th. So he is the guy in this group bet, this team bet that I'm looking at when I'm throwing my money on Stewart Haas. I'm like, okay, where's the 14? He's got to be the guy leading the charge. But then you look at Barry. I mean, they've been coming to life a little bit, showing life, I guess, more recently through the race. Not necessarily getting the exact finishes they want, but the four car has been solid at Texas over the years. So I think Stewart Haas, I mean, minus 140, yeah, that makes sense why they're favored that way, and I want it. I don't see how the Legacy cars are going to, I mean, what do you have to do to win this race? Finish top 10, or excuse me, top 15, top 20? I don't know how Legacy is finishing top 20, top 15, right? So I'm good. Minus 140. Lock that in for this team bet. Stewart Haas Racing over Legacy. the last bet that I have for you here is an underdog bet. And I talked about how I'm fine with the, you know, super short bets, the favorites. It's been working out for us. So I do get a little uncomfortable calling this one out here at plus 100. This is a head-to-head matchup. And I'm going with Brad Keselowski this week. Plus 100 over Alex Bowman on Caesars. Why? On Tuesday is Brad Keselowski plus 100 and underdog to a minus 130 Alex Bowman. Doesn't make sense to me. Let's look at it. Brad has a better average finish and a better drive rating at Texas in the last seven races. On the next gen car, two starts at Texas. Brad, 2 for 2, finishing top 10. Alex Bowman, 0 for 2, finishing top 10. Okay. Looking at the same last seven comp tracks, Brad has a better average finish, better drive rating at Texas specifically, 5 straight top 10 finishes for Brad Keselowski, and that is with Penske and RFK. So just really good. And you're looking at last 4 races at Texas. He's 3-1 versus Bowman head to head. He beat him at Vegas. It was like 13-18. He's 7 for 7 finishing top 20 on these comp tracks in the last year plus. And so I just feel like he will keep you in the bet. He will keep you in the race. He's going to be in or, I mean, at Texas, he'll be hunting for top 10s. And the question is, I was about to say he's going to be keeping you in that like top 15 range. But at Texas, he's been even better. So now the question is, can you trust Alex Bowman to do the same thing? And I, like I said, I like the Chevy crew. When Bowman does well, it comes out of nowhere. I'm like a broken record with that this year. I keep saying it. But I don't see that here. I see Brad Keselowski doing his thing, finishing top 10. Maybe he'll finish like 7th or 8th. And I don't see Bowman finishing inside the top 7 as my hand hits the microphone here. So, yeah, Brad Keselowski, why is he the underdog? I'm missing something. Somebody tell me what I am missing here as to what's going on. So that's the, I think my might be my favorite bet based on the odds, plus 100, lock that in. Because I can't imagine that's going to be there on race day. I mean, let me take a quick peek here. Like I said, I typically don't do this on the fly, but I want to see average starting positions for both these guys to see if there's anything we could take away here. Bowman's average starting position at Texas, 13.0, and Brad's is 5.7. So Brad, over time, has started really well at this racetrack. So yeah, I mean, I can't see this staying put. Now, in the last seven comp tracks, Brad's starting position's 13.0 on average. But Bowman's is even worse, 19.3. So plus 100, I think, is a steal right now, and I imagine that's going to go away. So, recapping these, we had Bubba over Gibbs earlier, but we're going Suarez over Jones, minus 115, Stuart Haas over Legacy Motor Club, minus 140, and Brad Keselowski, plus 100 over Alex Bowman. That will put a nice little bow on Texas for this weekend, and that will wrap up yet another episode of the Full Tank with Phil podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Give me a follow at Full Tank Phil on Instagram, on Twitter. Let me know what you got going on this weekend. You can find us on YouTube, 8 o'clock Wednesday nights on the NASCAR Betting Preview Show, and give the Truck Pod a listen that we do with the NASCAR Betting Preview Show this week as well. Remember, drive fast, take chances, and we'll see you next week for the big one, Talladega.
Place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.